We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, is your heart all right? Do you have heartfelt religion? Should the religion of Christ affect the heart of man or be totally independent of man's heart? Is it possible for a heartfelt religion to be a false religion? What does the Bible teach? These are questions to which we address ourselves as we discuss heartfelt religion. The inspired Apostle Paul taught that the religion of Christ should affect the heart of man. In Romans 10:9, he said, "Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Concerning the salvation of others, the apostle said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and supplication to God is for them that they may be saved." Romans 10, verse 1. No doubt about it, Paul's heart was involved in his religion, and the same was true of others. The Apostle Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, taught the importance of heart involvement in becoming a Christian and living a Christian life. To the Christians who obeyed the gospel when it was delivered to them in Jerusalem, he wrote, "Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. We shall discuss this matter in more detail later. In this series of discussions, we shall consider the involvement of man's heart in religion with regards to belief, purification, sanctification, salvation, and emotionalism. An important question for serious consideration is, what is the heart of religion as identified in the Bible? Perhaps you may have heard it said that Christians do not believe in heartfelt religion. Although many honest souls evidently do not understand its true place in religion, heartfelt religion is a reality. In God's dealing with humanity, there has been no time that man's heart was not involved in his relationship with God and his fellow man. Both the evil propensities and the thoughts and the deeds of goodness of the heart have been in evidence since the very beginning. But we must not confuse the true Bible concept of the heart of religion, with false irrational concepts based upon emotional actions and reactions not related to the power of God, as it is the gospel affirmed by the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16. In the early morning of time, God looked upon man and his wickedness flowing from his heart and declared that the very imaginations of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's found in Genesis 6, verse 5. This pronouncement had its setting during the patriarchal age, and the Mosaic Law acknowledged the involvement of man's heart without question. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these are the words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart." That was the declaration of Moses in Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. Surely, there can be no doubt about the heartfelt religion aspect of man's relationship to God as revealed in the Scriptures. The wise man of God said a long while gone, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 4, verse 23. Again, the wisdom of God declared, "For as he thinketh within himself, so is he." That of those who confuse the physical organ of the body, known as the heart, with the biblical heart. But such confusion is evidence of the lack of Bible knowledge. It is not altogether unusual for the mistaken to speak of heartfelt religion as something better felt than told. Then, place their hands on the chest and declare, "I feel it right here." But my friends, that physical heart is in no way related to the Bible heart. It is a serious mistake to assume that the heart of man is infallible in matters of religion. The way of a man's heart may lead him into error. The wise man Solomon said, There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Jeremiah the prophet of God declared, O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. The prophet warned man of the possibility of serious heart trouble. Hear the prophet. Are you listening? The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. In a serious charge against his contemporaries, Micah the prophet declared, Woe unto them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields, and seize them, and houses, and take them away. And they oppress the man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Micah 2:1-2. The evil they practiced was planned in their hearts. They laid in bed at night and planned to do evil when the morning light had come. Yes, the heart may deceive and be deceived, plan evil deeds, rob and oppress the unfortunate. The Bible calls for a change of heart in conversion, sanctification, and purification of the heart, but that does not have reference to man's physical heart. Most of us are very well pleased with that physical organ of our bodies, and we do not want it tampered with as long as it is functioning properly. This is not the heart that must be changed. The biblical heart of man is composed of that part of him that is known as the intellect, the will, and the emotions. The intellect is the power to know. With the intellect, we reason, we think, we imagine, we understand. God understood in the beginning of man's existence that the thoughts and the imagination of man's heart would come from his heart, as revealed in Genesis 6:5. Reason is an aspect of the heart of man. The Bible says, But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, and straightway Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, saith unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Mark 2:6-8. Reason is a function of the heart that is responsible unto God. Yes, the wise man of God said a long while ago, Trust in Jehovah with all thy heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. A fundamental part of man's heart is the will, which is the power to act. With his heart, man purposes to pursue a certain course of action. This is what the Bible says, For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's in Hebrews 4:12. According to this divine truth, the heart is identified as the part of man that intends and purposes a will to do. The heart is that part of human personality that purposes. When writing about giving, Paul told the early Christians, Let each man do according as he hath purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. It was from the heart that the purposes are made and were made concerning Christian giving. Man obeys and executes the will of his heart. To the Romans, Paul wrote, But thanks be to God that, whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:17-18. Their hearts were changed through their obedience to the gospel, which was God's power to save them. As believers, they obeyed from the heart, the Bible says, and they were then made free from sin and became servants of righteousness. The form of teaching which they obeyed was the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. As penitent believers, the Bible says, they were buried with Christ through baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we also might walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-4. The heart, therefore, that relates to God and to true religion is the heart that intends, that purposes, that obeys. It is the heart that obeys and executes man's willpower with which God is pleased. That was heart action, obedience from the heart, indeed, heartfelt religion. The heart of the Christian religion is one that changes from unbelief to belief, from disobedience to obedience, from impenitence to repentance, from alienation from God to salvation in Christ, from vain worship to true worship, from without hope in this world to expectation of eternal joy in heaven, prepared by our Lord in the city of our God. The eternal treasures are in heaven. Jesus said that where the man's treasures are, there will be his heart also. What about your heart today? My friends, the Bible is specific concerning the heart and man's relationship to God. I repeat the inspired apostle's affirmation when he said, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. There can be no conversion to Christ without dictates and actions of man's heart. There are two important questions to consider concerning man's heart and his conversion to Christ. And what is that relationship of the heart to conversion? Let us investigate. In every genuine conversion to Christ, there must be a threefold change. This includes a change of heart, a change of life, and a change of relationship. The heart of man is active in all three changes, therefore, heartfelt religion is inseparable with New Testament Christianity. A religion that does not touch, tender, and change man's heart, from the worse to the better, is not the religion of Jesus Christ. Beloved, there is no possible way for a man to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ independent of heart involvement. Yes, man's heart is very much involved in his conversion to Christ. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus declared, "Except ye be converted, or turn, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." The Apostle Peter commanded the mistaken Jews, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Acts 3, verse 19. To a group of unbelieving Jews, Jesus one time quoted the prophet saying, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should turn again, and I should heal them." Matthew 13:15. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? The heart about which Jesus was concerned is the heart with ears to hear and eyes to see and perceive. The heart that understands, believes, and obeys. That's heartfelt religion. Without question, the Apostle Paul declared that man believes with his heart, as we read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And in the 17th verse of this chapter, he concluded that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The hearing, of course, is the perception and understanding of the heart. The message of salvation from God is to be received by man through an understanding heart. The gospel of Jesus Christ is adapted to all avenues and aspects of man's heart. There are facts to be believed in one's heart, including what one must believe about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and ascension. There are commands to be obeyed, which relate to man's will or his willpower. This involves his intent and purpose to obey the gospel and the execution of obedience. There are promises to be fulfilled. The exceeding great and precious promises include sonship, remission of sins, the right of prayer, heirs of the promise, and the hope of heaven. In these precious promises, the Christian places his trust, forms his love, and deepens his affections for Christ. Jesus gives full assurance of hope for that which he promised, even mansions of eternal beauty in the city of our God. The intellect of man is that faculty which enables him to believe. The Bible says in Acts 8:37, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And of course the divine conclusion of Paul was, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, therefore, man thinks, he reasons, he understands, he believes. Yes, we call that the intellect of man's heart. The heart that God deals with is the heart that believes and obeys. Faith is from one's heart, as must be recognized from the record of the Bible when Paul said, With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The record of the conversion of the man of Ethiopia found in Acts 8, verses 34 to 39, is an example of faith in obedience, faith in action, faith of the heart. Philip preached unto him Jesus, the Bible says in verse 35. In preaching Jesus to the eunuch, obviously Philip preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, beginning from the very scripture he was reading. He could not believe because faith came by hearing the word of God until he had heard what to believe. You may read that in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 17. In verse 36 of Acts 8, it is recorded that the eunuch requested to be baptized, no doubt, because Philip preached the command of Jesus recorded in Mark 16:16, when he said, Preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Philip preached that when he preached Jesus. You must recall that is from the Bible. Philip answered and said, If thou believest with all of thy heart, thou mayest. The faith of his heart had to be right before he could be baptized into Christ. The eunuch made affirmation of his faith, the faith of his heart, by confessing, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8, verse 37. Then the record reveals in verse 38 that he was baptized. The Bible says, They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Truly, this man believed with all of his heart. Faith in action. Beloved, are you listening? This is truly heartfelt conversion. Today, heart surgery is very common for those with physical heart ailments. But I tell you that heart surgery is absolutely necessary for those whose hearts are burdened and corrupted by sin. We're talking about open heart surgery. The Apostle Paul recognized the principle of heartfelt religion in his ministry and the conversion that he experienced and the conversion of others. The record of the conversion of Lydia is a true example. The Bible says, now listen carefully, And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, one that worshipped God and heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. That's found in Acts 16, verses 14 and 15. Lydia had open heart surgery. The Bible says, Whose heart the Lord opened? First, it is important to observe the instrument used in this spiritual operation. The operation was not by a direct power of the Holy Spirit, as so many people claim in the case of their conversion today. The instrument used in this operation of divine power was the Word of God. The record states that Lydia's heart was open, now listen, are you listening? Was open to give heed to the things spoken by Paul. With her heart, Lydia heard the gospel. With her heart, she believed the gospel. With her heart, she obeyed the gospel, being baptized into Christ, just like Jesus commanded in Mark 16 and 16, when he said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The gospel spoken by Paul made appeal to Lydia's heart, which was open, receptive to divine truth. She willingly and gladly accepted the gospel of her